Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring.
Welcome back to another thirst-quenching episode of Canadian Politics is Boring. My name is Jesse Harley, and with me, as always, is my good buddy, Reese Waters. Reese, say hello to our audience.
Hello, audience.
And this is a very special episode. Because for the first time ever, we are in virtual reality. If you go and put on your virtual reality helmet right now.
There's a 360 camera.
The 360 camera in the middle of the table.
If you don't have a virtual reality helmet,
it's just going to look really weird.
It's going to be on YouTube.
It's going to look weird, but you can. I guess you can scroll around.
Scroll around.
So Reese is on one side.
We need to talk with our hands.
Yeah.
So
I'm on the other side of the table, and it's going to be really freaky. So put your helmet on and go to YouTube and watch our video. You can put down your podcast player and go and put on your virtual reality helmet and watch us live. Now, Reese, of course, got a haircut and put on fresh clothes. And
I didn't put fresh clothes on. This morning.
Okay, right. And like, I totally forgot that this was a thing. So like, my hair is unkempt. I forgot to shave and I'm wearing my baggiest shirt, of course. So welcome. Thanks. And if you're doing this in VR, I highly recommend you get a swivel chair so that you can just constantly propel yourself in one direction to so you can see Reese and then see me and then see Reese and then see me and have a bag ready.
Just pick whoever's face you like the most and stick with it. Yeah. people can read between the lines what I meant there.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is a very special episode.
They're all very special, Reese.
If you're not going to bother with the VR stuff or going to YouTube, I'm very sorry that we just spent a few minutes talking about it and that we'll just get on with the episode now.
Yeah, sure.
That was the small talk. This episode has nothing to do with politics or Canada.
My favorite type of episode in Canadian Politics is Boring.
And it's because this episode is going out on March the 1st, which is a very special day.
I can't lean away from the camera to sniff. You'll see me, so I might as well just...
Yeah. Jesse has a bad nose. There we go. Yeah. This is a very special day. Can you guess what special day it is? March the 1st.
Today's March 1st?
No. Today is is late. Today is the February the 25th, but this is going out on March the 1st. This isn't live.
Right. It's the camera that confused me because it's blinking in my face. I mean, I keep picturing this as live for a second.
It's like, you're not going to guess.
No.
It's St. David's Day, the Welsh National Day. So St. David is to Wales what St. Patrick is to Ireland.
Okay.
You know what St. Patrick's Day is.
I know of St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. So it's a big day of celebration. Well, it's St. David's Day.
My friend Ryan, his birthday is on St. Patrick's Day. So
wonderful.
Dual celebration for him.
St. Ryan's Day.
I have to use my hands more because we're in VR.
So for this, I thought, well, let's mess around.
Should have got props or something, like confetti shooters.
I've got this can of carbonated water.
I've got a mug of decaf coffee with MCT oil.
Anyway, this episode is for St. David's Day, I was going to just talk about a weird story from Welsh history, which I thought you might appreciate.
Okay.
This weirdly hypnotic. I feel like you're about to bite me with venom or something. Anyway, do you know what a druid is?
No, I've heard of it, but I don't know what one is.
So druids are kind of the inspiration for what you would call a wizard, I guess. So like a mysterious, magical...
I'm a wizard!
Wizards didn't sound like that.
Are you sure?
Like Merlin or all those kind of like...
If you don't know.
If you do like Dungeons and Dragons,
you've been around when
Gandalf,
wizards were there. They might have sounded all nasally and geek-like.
They didn't have a North American accent. That's for certain.
All right, well, that's... Yeah. Okay, I'll keep that one.
The earliest written reference to a druid dates back 2,400 years ago.
And so these were wizards, wizards.
They weren't Welsh. Well, they were...
Welsh wizards.
They were kind of like Welsh wizards, I guess.
I mean, with Welsh accents.
But they
So can you, with a thick Welsh accent, thicker than yours? Because I know there's like 20 different Welsh accents, which is... Because we went over that in a
different
podcast.
There's more than that.
All right, that's impressive. The thickest Welsh accent that you can impersonate, say, I'm a wizard.
I'm a wizard. Anyway. Was that Welsh enough for you?
That was great.
Yeah,
that
cool.
Made my day.
I'm a wizard. No, maybe a bit.
I'm a wizard.
Anyway.
It's my Welsh.
So 2,400 years ago, they first appeared or were first recorded. And 1,200 years ago, they vanished. They were replaced by Christianity.
Or they opened a portal to a different dimension.
People
said,
gave up
on this place.
People gave up on magic. So,
people stop believing in magic, so they stopped existing.
They only get their power through belief.
And people clapping their hands.
Yeah. No. Well, they just
those fairies.
They went out of fashion in that sense. Yeah. Okay. So in ancient Britain, they served a variety of roles. They were philosophers, teachers, judges, the repository of.
These are magicians. Talking about?
They weren't magicians. People thought they had, because they understood they had like forbidden knowledge that we would probably call like
magic.
No, knowledge of science and herbs and things like that. People thought it was magic. They were like, I rub this leaf on you and now you don't feel bad anymore. And they'd be like, wow, that's magic. It wasn't. They had knowledge.
Come on, Reese, have a little faith.
Exactly. So because they understood the natural world and everything like that, and they kept that information within a close circle, they were very, very influential. And they were often considered to be the mediators between the humans and the gods. So the Celts believed in, like, they were, everything had some kind of possession. Water was like a sacred place. Water was often seen as a portal between two worlds. And every kind of, like, plant and creature was considered to be, of spiritual importance.
Cool.
Which is cool.
Okay, that's very cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and they could throw fireballs from their hands.
Yeah, only when they're angry.
Right. So, which is all the time. These are Welsh people we're talking about.
Everything we know about... Druids didn't write anything down. They were podcasters in that they only spoke. It was all oral tradition.
Oh, is that true?
They didn't write anything down. Everything was passed down through experience and through, through stories. Yeah. So everything...
Did they not have a written language then?
I don't know if they did have a written language. It's just that wasn't part of the culture. Everything was through oral kind of... through the oral traditions of stories and it was just a different way of communicating.
So all their lore, all their herbal knowledge, all their magic tricks. were passed down through oral.
Yeah.
Just speaking.
Through oral traditions.
Thank you.
Get your mind out of the gutter. So everything we know about them is secondhand knowledge from people who weren't druids.
That's such a picture of them. Teach someone else.
Do I really need to do this? Yes. sharing my wisdom.
Prepare for wisdom.
Anyway. And
it's like I'm picturing like.
We don't need like a, we don't need a visual
porn, like an academic porn, which is like no, I'm not gonna
let's just move on. Anyway, but they weren't just in Wales, they were across a lot of
a porn I'm making up in my head.
Don't need your wizard porn in this episode. Anyway, so the druids could be found in Britain and Gaul, which is modern day France.
Okay.
Remember Asterix?
He was a Gaul. I never really watched it or read it.
He was a Gaul. Anyway.
How do you spell it?
G-A-U-L.
Okay. And that's what France is today? You
yeah.
Gaul?
Yeah. When the Celts were the main people, it was called Gaul.
Like 2,000 years ago?
Yeah. Like before the Romans arrived.
Wow.
So the writer, and this is a funny name, I think it's Latin, Dio Chrysostom, who lived 1,900 years ago. So that was quite a while ago. Yeah, I'm sure if he had a bank account, it'd be worth a lot of money with interest today. He compared druids to kind of shamans or the magi or Brahmins of India. So they were kind of devoted to the prophetic arts. So they try and predict the future using mysterious things.
Prophetic arts?
And
the prophetic arts.
And they were
prophetic arts.
Prophetic arts. Yeah. They could see the future and they were wise. That's what he was trying to say.
And they had artificial limbs.
And they might have, I guess. Druidism is often associated with people, the Celtic people, who covered Britain and France of that era. But the settlements were found in Turkey, and even Celtic mercenaries actually served under Cleopatra during some wars in Egypt.
Huh.
So they were kind of quite quite important in Europe, but they had some weird beliefs. So Pliny the Elder, which is a great name. Hi, Pliny the Elder. Here's my card. Pliny the Elder.
I'm here to dispel some wisdom. Yeah, take your pants off.
Who also lived? He lived 2,000 years ago, so he was older than the Chrysostomoto, whatever his name was. I can't remember his name. I'm gonna go.
You're doing great,
Pliny the Elder.
Pliny the Elder,
and my brother Pliny the Younger. And apparently mistletoe on the fifth day of the moon were really important to druids and Celts.
Say that again?
Mistletoe.
Yeah.
And
the kissing thing.
And the fifth day of the moon.
That's all I know about the plant. It just has berries and you have to kiss if you're unearned it.
Yeah, so... and also, he talked about...
We'll go back to this. So on the fifth day of mistletoe?
Fifth day of the moon.
The fifth day of the moon. So what does mistletoe have to do with this?
Mistletoe is like a sacred berry to them.
Okay.
It symbolizes fertility. And the fifth moon is... I thought there was only one. But when the fifth one comes around, you're good.
They've been waiting a while. Yeah.
And fertility and animal sacrifice was important.
Nothing turns you on more than...
Animal sacrifice. And poisonous berries. Anyway, I'm going to read this. And this is from his quote. And I'm going to read it to you.
What's the guy's name again?
Pliny the Elder. So Pliny the Elder. Bring hither two white bulls, the horns of which are bound. And then for the first time, clad in a white robe, the priest ascends the tree and cuts the mistletoe with a golden sickle, which is received by others in a white cloak. They then immolate the victims.
What does that mean?
While offering praise, they kill them, wrote Pliny the Elder. It is the belief that to them that the mistletoe taken in drink will impart fertility to all animals that are barren, and that it is an antidote for all poisons. It is often said the druids practiced human sacrifice, but this may not be accurate. Because it was written, again, it was written by other people, not by druids. And all the people writing them were the Romans. So the Romans wanted to discredit
of course.
Them, so... History is written by the victor. I don't know who Victor was, but he wrote a lot of books.
Your dad jokes are Diodorus, getting better.
This is a great name. Diodorus Siculus. Diodorus Siculus.
It's like a train.
It's like a trainer that sucks you. sports gear.
Jesus Christ.
Dear Doris. Dear Doris Succulus, you can run fast. And it does other things. So he was 2,000 years old, and he said that... He said that the druids were always present during a human sacrifice, but it wasn't the druids that did it. They just watched. But I don't know if any of this is true. So,
I'm so not used to having a camera on me when we do this podcast.
I know, you keep being
so
silly. More... I'm not going to do it again. It's like having a child for too many green M&Ms.
No, what's wrong? Not just I'm saying, it's like I'm more self-conscious now of being watched at all times.
Here's a tip for you. Don't worry about the camera looking at you, because that's how everybody else sees you all the time anyway. So
thanks.
No problem.
It's very that's helpful.
Do you want to know how the druids died? It's quite epic.
I wasn't dancing, by the way. I was mimicking the description of
Diodorus Siculus.
No, the other one.
Pliny the Elder.
Pliny the Elder, yeah. With the mistletoe and the killing of people. It was just, for anyone who's watching our podcast who can't hear, that small segment was for them.
Yeah. Just for you.
Just for you.
Do you want to find out if the druids died?
All of them?
It was quite epic. No, they were kind of massacred in one go.
Oh.
Largely.
Your favorite. Okay, yeah, that's... let's bring on the gore and violence. Woo. Reese's favorite comedy segment. Fucking hell.
By the year 50 AD, do you remember 50 AD?
Vividly.
Yeah. What were we thinking
good
back
year.
Then? What
yeah.
were we thinking? most of southern England had fallen to the Roman Empire, and areas in the west of the UK, there were several tribes that had managed to keep... Romans out through constant guerrilla warfare.
50 AD. All right, so like Jesus's followers might still be alive in their 80s.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was a long
just
time.
A whole bunch of like cantankerous bastards sitting around in the desert.
There's a knight somewhere waiting for Indiana Jones to turn up with a bunch of Nazis in a cave. Just arrived. Just taking his shoes off. That's how long ago we're talking. No, that's back. No, the knight arrived there later. Don't ignore that. It's a bad example. Anyway.
Sweet tap dancing Jesus on a popsicle stick. You've reached the middle of the episode. That means a very special announcement for all you people out there in podcast land. Stay tuned.
So the Celts would fight the Romans, but they fought very different. You know, Romans used to like have big shields and armor and fight in a very organized way.
I've heard.
Well, Celts were quite different. They were taller than the Romans, which kind of intimidated them. But also, they would blow these horns that would kind of create weird like soundscapes as they battled.
Can you do an impression of this horn for me, please?
Weird discordant horns.
Oh, come on!
They said, "You're gonna die." They had deep, harsh voices, and they beat their swords rhythmically against their shields. And sometimes they were known for fighting naked because they believed in reincarnation. They weren't worried about dying. And also they thought it would intimidate people more. If you were willing to run and fight in a battle with a short sword and a shield completely naked, that's pretty intimidating to have a naked person running at you.
I mean,
they were my sudden shield. I'd drop it and run away and go, he's going to rub his balls on me.
Yep, that would be my number one concern in battle.
And that's
battle,
why the Romans...
not dying,
and
but
that's why the Romans really struggled to take over.
Because they were afraid of other men rubbing their balls on them in battle.
And also they could move faster because they were naked. They weren't weighed down by armor.
That's true, but like...
And you could get slippery as well.
If only armor had some sort of... use other than weighing you down in battle. Oh gosh, why would other people wear them? It just sounds silly to me.
So the Romans knew that if they were going to beat the Celtic tribes, they needed to wipe out the druid class who had all the forbidden secret
knowledge.
Like
completely
knowledge.
Naked, like not even just some underwear.
No, they everything would be flapping about as they ran towards you, screaming, blowing a weird horn. That's intimidating. I think that's good tactics.
Make sure you flap real hard there,
bit of
boys.
Advice, if you ever get in a bar fight, strip naked, and then come on then, and they bet they'll leave you alone.
Probably, especially if you're flapping about while chasing them down the street.
Exactly. Yeah.
Flapping about. Everything's flapping about.
Yeah.
Our next podcast, Everything's Flapping About with Reese and Jesse.
Anyway, so the Roman general, Suetonius Paulinus... I'm
going to guess that every name that you pronounce is wrong.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to send us an email to criticize my Latin,
they will.
Then feel free. So in 57 AD, he'd had enough, and he realized he'd have to wipe out the Druids. You'd have to take all that forbidden knowledge, that kind of important wise.
So hold on, they were wiped out in one battle, or
no? Well, I'll get to this.
The
guerrilla warfare, they were losing people. It was really hard to take over the island. But if they managed to,
this is the Romans.
The Romans
were attacking which island?
Wales. The UK.
The UK, Great Britain, right.
Which was populated by Celts mainly at this time. So Anglesey or Ynysmon was the Druid. Is an island. That is north of Wales. It's kind of just above. If you look at a map of Wales, there's this big island.
What's pronounced? How do you pronounce it?
Anglesey or Ynysmon is the Welsh.
Ynysmon. All right.
And that was the sacred home of the Druids. So that was like their holy land.
Huh.
So the Romans decided to go there because they knew that they could wipe out most of the Druids in one go, because that's where a lot of the the training, there was a big community there that was the epicenter of that religion, essentially. So it's like if you wanted to, like, I don't know, it's like going to Ottawa.
if Americans or some other country,
if Justin Trudeau was just a Druid,
just wipe out Ottawa. But just Ottawa.
Just Ottawa.
I don't know if any other Canadians would notice really anything's changed.
They would.
You know.
Well, I mean, like Ottawa, like, but if it was important. Let's rephrase it.
Yeah.
Let's rephrase it. So anyway.
We're doing a great job at convincing Justin Trudeau to get on our show.
I know. So as the sacred home of the Druids, the Romans went there and they marched there, and they were... there was a lot of guerrilla attacks by different.
Thank you for that distinction.
But the Romans were superstitious, and so the Romans completely outnumbered the Druids, and the Druids were on this island and they weren't really warriors necessarily. They were like priests and doctors and shamans. So they
but I'm sure they had protection, did they not?
Well, they would have, but a lot of them they thrived in guerrilla attacks. So if there's a big army column marching, you can't stop them unless you kind of have a way of distracting them more than anything else.
Yeah, how would they do that? What are their guerrilla tactics?
So a lot of the time, you think it was hard, especially in Wales, it's very mountainous with long, thin paths.
And you're naked.
You're not. The Romans were naked. But you think about it.
The Romans were naked?
The Romans weren't naked.
No, this is the Romans you're talking about.
So you think about it. You're trying to cross a mountain range over a single path. Well, if you don't know that territory very well,
right,
you're all split up in a long, thin line. Is easy for people to come and pick you off with like spears and bits flapping around.
And your bits flapping around. Thank you for bringing that up again. That's good.
Interestingly, women also fought up in battle. They were women and men fought together in battle, which freaked the Romans out because
and increased the number of flappy bits.
Exactly. There was double the flapping. Anyway.
Was that their battle cry?
Yeah, double flap! Anyway, so they... because the Romans were superstitious and they'd heard all the rumors about druids sacrificing humans and having magic powers, they were already on edge because they were going to the spiritual home of wizards to wipe out the wizards. So... so they're a little bit scared. So Tacitus was a Roman who was there, and he
definitely sounds like a Roman name.
Yeah, his account is one of the few accounts of what happened. So between Ynysmon and North Wales is a very shallow estuary, and when the water goes out, some people can drive across. So they weren't protected on the island.
Okay.
They stood either side of this short estuary. So on the shore stood the forces of the enemy, which he's talking about the Druids, a dense array of arms and men with women dashing through the ranks like the Furies, the Druids pouring forth dire imprecations with their hands lifted upwards towards the heavens and struck terror into the soldiers. So they had like fire, they had like special effects going on, they were doing all these chants just to scare the shit out of the Romans.
It was working.
It was for a while, and apparently... like the Romans were taken aback at first, and it took them a while to collect themselves. But then they realized that they had a shitload of swords and modern weaponry and some of the best tactics in the world at the time.
True.
And they overcame it. So they crossed the estuary with shallow boats once they kind of came to their senses. And they just killed everyone.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's gross.
The men, women, and children.
Oh,
armed,
good.
Armed and unarmed, young and old. And they hurled the bodies onto makeshift funeral pyres. And then...
you fucking love this shit. You eat this up.
I love people dying. So Suetonius.
What's his name again?
Suetonius, the general.
Sewer.
Hi, I'm General Suetonius. Here's my card.
I'm not sure how many cards.
So they went across Anglesey / Ennismon, destroying all of the sacred groves and smashing all the temples to pieces and basically destroying the whole holy island of Druids.
Fucking Romans.
So after that, it did speed up the conquest of the UK or much of the UK. It still took them another 20 years. Which is pretty... That's a long time to wipe out
all the Druids.
To wipe out all the Druids and to totally conquer the entirety of Wales.
Jesus Christ.
So, we talk about war these days. I think an idea of a 20-year-long war where they slowly try to massacre everyone is...
It
gives you a sense of perspective.
Yeah, a little bit. Jesus.
So anyway, so then the Druids were kind of pretty much...
So if you think it's been a hard year because you have to wear a mask when going in to get your bagel, just think of the 20-year-long destruction to emit...
Just basically take over the Romans.
Not emancipation.
Genocide.
Yeah. 20-year-long genocide. 20-year-long? Oh my God. Use your words, Jesse.
Against the Romans.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it could be worse.
Could be. It always could be, yes. Yeah, so.
It could be a legion of Roman warriors trying to murder you and your family. Oh, the only place you could hide is mountains where it rains a lot. And the only thing
naked.
And the only thing to eat is sheep. So.
For food and for comfort. Yeah.
But apparently some Druids survived in Ireland until the 8th century, but people didn't see them take them sensibly. People didn't take them seriously even. So they were seen as the people used to go to them for love potions and that kind of stuff. So they weren't like the center of society as they were in the Celts. They were much more like a wizard that lives in an old stone cottage far outside the village. You want to make her love you, you need to go to the wizard and get a love potion. That kind of thing.
What's the wizard's name, Reese?
Wizard.
Wizard?
Uncle Wizard.
Uncle.
The wizard.
Uncle Wizard, the wizard.
Uncle Wizard, the wizard. He needs to work on his branding, anyway. So that was it. That was it, the Druids. And now people... There are a lot of people who claim they're Druids. They're kind of neo-pagans, and they claim the Druid priests. But
like ancestors who have actually survived?
No. So everything they celebrate and everything they do is based on nothing to do, because we have no knowledge of what their Druids actually did.
Right.
Apart from Roman, who are essentially their enemies, depictions of them. So the idea of saying you're a Druid is... It's kind of like you can say you're a Druid. No one's going to stop you, but it's not true necessarily because there's like nearly a millennia of knowledge gap from the last person to be called a Druid to the next person to be called a Druid with no information to be transferred across. And a lot of people assume that Stonehenge is something to do with Druids.
I've heard that.
But it's not. Stonehenge was built, 5,000 to 4,000 years ago, so way before the Druids even existed.
How do you know the Druids didn't exist then?
I don't.
But there's no record.
There's lots of things I don't know, but that doesn't mean it's true. Just because you can't disprove something doesn't make it true.
That's proof, Reese.
No, it's not. So anyway, that is my St. David's Day special. Again, if you like 360 cameras and YouTube, this will be on YouTube for you to enjoy. Jesse's doing a dance. This 360 camera was a bad idea. It's just so distracted. Wait, what's the call to action, Jesse?
Well, we've done Instagram a bunch. You know what?
Reviews.
I was just going to say reviews.
Reviews.
Yes, reviews.
If you like us, please take the time to review us on Apple.
It helps. Like it helps dramatically. It does. Really does. And if there are
Our egos.
Yeah, mainly our egos. If people who hate this podcast can take the time out of their busy day of hate to pull over the side of the road and take out their phone and leave a hateful review, then you can take 10 seconds and be like, hey, it's good. I like it.
If you really like us, create 5 emails and log in 5 times and give us 5 good reviews.
I have an idea.
And no, don't do that.
I have an idea. Okay.
Oh no.
It's what about a contest for a t-shirt?
Yeah.
Okay.
A contest. I'll
say my idea and then you can tell me if you like it, but you can alternate it.
I was about to just take over your idea.
Yeah. So in the next week, since this podcast is released, whoever leaves the funniest review on Apple Podcasts will win a t-shirt of their choice from our merch store.
Yeah, and if you don't use Apple Podcasts, then you're going to have to buy an Apple to do that review and take part. But if not, I'll tell you what you can do. You can email us.
You can just download it. Like Apple Podcasts is free. You can.
Yeah, but not if you're on Android. But if
not on Android, it's you can.
Is it?
Yeah, Apple. You're thinking Apple Music is subscription based, but Apple Podcasts is free for everybody.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah. Well, and if you can't get that to work, just email us a review. And if it's funnier than the ones that are posted, you might win still too. We want to be accessible to all.
So from one day, from the day that the 1 week passed, oh my God, use your fucking words, Jesse. 1 week past the day that this podcast is released, the funniest review on Apple Podcasts, if you have available to Apple Podcasts, wins a t-shirt of their choice from our merch store. And go!
Great. So,
I'm hoping these funny reviews are also
happy
like
David's Day.
Happy St. David's Day.
And we didn't learn about St. David.
Who the fuck is he?
He was a saint who converted a ton of people in Wales to Christianity.
So what does he have to do with Druids?
Nothing. It's just St. David's Day. It's a day you'd celebrate Welsh stuff, like St. Patrick's Day.
David's Day is just a day to celebrate Welsh
stuff,
and Druids is Welsh stuff.
Yeah, because they all got killed in Wales. St.
David has nothing to do with Druids whatsoever.
Not really, no. His most famous miracle was he was giving a sermon and people at the back couldn't hear him, and suddenly a hill rose up under his feet, and that was his miracle, which I think is a... if it was me, I would have...
impressive, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, he could have just gone somewhere with better acoustics. I don't want to take away from his miracle. So anyway, happy St. David's Day.
Happy St. David's Day, everybody. If you have a Welsh friend, send them a message and let them know your thoughts.
A nice message. Not a threatening one. No.
I know where you sleep.
So goodbye, podcast listeners, and goodbye, 360 camera people, too.
Au revoir. Thanks for listening and watching. Sticking us in your ear holes and your eye holes.
And if you didn't listen or watch, then... you wouldn't know.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th, at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.